There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret's just-arrived collection of swim and other sun-ready silhouettes. Pack your bags with new styles from the Very Sexy collection, like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy Push-Up Bra, in on-trend hues like green and citron and black shine. Rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. Plus, mix and match with their wide range of bikini tops and bottoms to find your dream suit. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriasecret.com.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
We're back, Katie!
Oh my gosh, is it true?
It's true for now, it's true,
it feels real.
I'm a real boy and you're a real girl and this is a real Scandal Rewatch podcast.
This is it, people, it's happening, hallelujah. The strike has ended, we are back, bitches.
We're back with season 2 of Unpacking the Toolbox.
That's right. And no better episode could we be talking about than rolling out episode 1 of season 3, which the question that Harrison Wright asks is, are we gladiators or are we bitches?
I always want to say we're bitches, but of course we're gladiators.
I love it. Well, I think both options are valid.
Yes.
And for our gladiators or bitches that are listening, you got to know that this is like the way new and improved season coming at you right now. We even got a fucking phone number that you can call.
Oh, hell yeah.
Leave us comments, messages, leave us questions that we will ask each other live.
24/7.
Yeah. You want to just call us at 3 o'clock in the morning to talk about Scandal, or your ideas, your thoughts, guests you'd like to have on.
Leave us a message, bitches. Yeah.
Leave us a message.
Talk shit. Tell us a story.
Yes.
I don't give a hell what you say.
We don't care. We don't care. It's call us at 805-298-1474 or send us an email at utt@shondaland.com. We want to hear from you guys. I mean, this show exists and is so fun and gets to keep happening because of all of you gladiators who have been listening since episode 1. And Guillermo and I love making them. We love doing them. We've got amazing guests lined up this season. We've got so much new scandal, hot gossip to talk about.
We got a great guest on today. Today.
We do.
But first of all, Katie, just real quick. I know in this episode, doing our research, there's no eating in this episode, but what did you eat today? Can we please just talk about food for 2 seconds?
We have to. I had a delicious mint chip smoothie. I had, I know, delicious. I had a sweet potato. I had turkey. Guys, you know, we're off strike, so mommy's about to get back on camera. So mom's keeping it real right and tight up in here.
Lettuce and water and shit. Oh, my God.
What about you, Guillermo Diaz?
I had leftovers. I had rice and beans and a bunch of steamed broccoli and salad with like a Caesar dressing. Oh, it was so fucking good. But before that, I juiced my celery and parsley and lime juice. And then for lunch, I had that.
Wow. So you are raring to go.
I'm also starving. I'm also starving. Are you hungry? You must be hungry.
Oh my God, I'm absolutely starving. Yeah. I'm absolutely starving. I'm drinking water and chewing gum. I am so stoked to see you, my friend.
You too, Katie. I missed you.
We have just been striking and on the picket line, and we're in love as always and per usual. But to just get to dive back in and watch more of these episodes
and just have fun.
Remember what the hell was even going on?
Yes.
It's the absolute best.
See our baby faces on the screen.
Oh my God.
And be like, oh, look how cute I was.
Babies. I can't believe I was adorable. I mean, I was annoying. I was annoying, but I was adorable.
Adorable. I was so skinny. We were so thin. We were so snatched.
We were so little. We were so snatched. We were so cuties.
Yeah. And at the time, you're like, oh, I look like shit.
Yeah,
now looking back, it's like, oh my God.
We have to really look at that because I feel like I'm 41 and I'm going to look at 65 back, hopefully, if I'm lucky. Yeah. And be like, what was my problem? Like, my boobs were way higher than they are at 65. Like, there's nothing to complain about.
We're never going to look better than right now, moment right now.
So feast your eyes. Oh, another hot new edition of the season 2 of Unpacking the Toolbox, Feast Your Eyes, Gladiators, is that we are taping. There's, like, video going on, and we're going to be, like, posting and social media-izing so you can see our adorable faces and laugh with us as we are rewatching these episodes.
And looking cute. So, can we talk about today's guest?
Yeah. He's like Shondaland royalty.
Royalty, yes.
This guy is real handsome on the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He's real smart, and he's a real multi-hyphenated artist.
Oh, he sure is.
Right?
He's an inspiration, man.
And the other thing about him is that his initials are literally TV.
TV? Oh my God. You know when I knew this man, this director, this artist was a down dude? When he made me do a scene, a very intense, serious scene in Huck's office with, I think you were in the scene, while I was using a shake weight. It was like a 3-minute scene, and I did the whole thing working the shake weight, and I thought, oh, I love this guy. I love him.
This.
Do you remember that?
Because I do. And was he making you do that for the blooper reel?
Yes.
I think it ended up on like a behind the scenes DVD track of like some season or something.
But I just thought how amazing that he's taking the time out while we're actually shooting the show. We're in production to be like, Guillermo, now do the whole scene with the shake weight.
Well, because TV's Tom Verica. He's having fun, and he just is such a master at having everything under control. I've never seen him lose his mind. I've never seen him super stressed out. I've never seen him like, oh my God, we're never going to make the day. You know, a lot of directors, especially on Scandal, we were shooting 9 pages a day, and it was practically impossible to get it all. And TV's Tom Verica just never made it feel that way. He was always calm, cool, collected, confident, ran the crew, got the cast.
He was that director, Katie, when we'd get a difficult script where we were like the lead in the script and we had to do some emotional work or get naked or whatever. And then we'd see who the director was and we'd all be like, oh, thank God it's Tom. Thank God Tom's directing, right?
Yes.
I feel like we always felt safe with him.
Totally.
And confident. He trusted your instincts. He was just...
And not only that, but the guy skyrocketed in Shondaland. Just real quick, for y'all who don't know who the fuck we're talking about, he's a genius actor. Like, he literally played Viola Davis's husband in How to Get Away with Murder. He directed a billion episodes of Scandal. He was our producing director. Then he moved on to directing all the Queen Charlottes, producing directs Bridgerton. He directs a ton of Bridgerton. I mean, the guy...
Yeah.
Oh my God, he directed me in Inventing Anna. The guy cannot stop. He is a tent pole.
And he's in an episode of Seinfeld, like a classic episode of Seinfeld. Need I say more, people? Need I say more?
No.
Is he here?
No, I'm not ready. We're not ready.
Tom,
we're not ready. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. We love this human being. This guy is coming to us from England.
Are you in England?
From England. It's 11 o'clock at night. Yes.
Oh, my God. What are you shooting there, Tom? You're shooting Queen Charlotte right now?
No. We decided to move the family over here. So the kids are going to school here, and we're going to play in London for a couple of years.
Oh, man.
I mean, we're back and forth, but we're mostly here.
Guillermo and I are available. I have a very good British accent. How is yours, Guillermo?
I have no doubt.
Oh, it's just lovely.
We're also turning the Scandal Rewatch podcast into an audition.
Auditions. We're going to audition all the time when we have guests.
This is so thrilling. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Tom.
Absolutely. So honored to be here.
Tom, we've just been saying you are the tent pole of Shondaland, and I just... We have so many little memories to talk about, but first, the first little official order of business that we should get to, because this is the premiere, you're welcome, episode of season two. It's confusing. It's season two of Unpacking the Toolbox, but it's season three of Scandal. Mm-hmm. And we, real quick, are just going to get the logistics out of the way with the episode title and who directed it, you, and the guest stars and synopsis. Do you want to try your Scandal pacer? How's your acting chops lately?
Oh, hell yes. It's late at night, but I'll give it a shot because I do have it here.
Tom's already got it.
He's ready. He's prepared.
Once an actor, always an actor.
Yeah, no.
Do you have your little iPad on set? Tom always had his iPad with the whole script on there. Just scrolling through.
I still have my app. Every script is on there. Yep.
Oh, you were so
what
prepared.
What is this scene? What are we doing?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Tom Verica, you are a legend. We today are talking about episode 301 called It's Handled, which aired on October 3rd, 2013. It was written by... This duo is insane. Written by Shonda Rhimes, directed by
Tom Verica. Tom Verica, people.
Who is a guest starring Guillermo Diaz?
Stoney Westmoreland as Hal Rimbaud, Samantha Sloyan as Janine Locke, Vanya Asher as Ethan, Kate Burton as Sally Langston, Erin Chambers as Mara.
Eben Hamm as Tanner Shaw, Jennifer Payo as Vanessa Chandler, Jay Jackson as news anchor number one, and of course, Dan Bogatinsky as James Novak.
Come on.
Can you take us through the synopsis, TV's Tom Verica?
Well, this aired, you said October 13th. This is 10 years now, isn't it?
Oh, shit. Yeah, it sure is. Oh, my God. Time flies.
Well, then we just a little bit after, but.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, here's the synopsis.
Okay.
Yes! All right. Perfect.
You can do a warm-up if you need it.
I got Katie Lowe's in the back of my head and how fast she goes, and that's the bar. That's the bar that
is
set.
You got this. I believe in you.
With Olivia's name out there as the president's mistress, both the White House and Pope and Associates face their biggest scandal to date, and a surprise allegiance is formed in order to get things handled. Meanwhile, Olivia's father will stop at nothing to carry out his orders, and no one, including Olivia, can stand in his way.
Wow.
Yes. How did you never do like a small role on Scandal? You didn't, right, Tom?
Yeah, why?
No, I didn't.
How did we not use you?
I know why. It's because early on you started playing that no-name actress, Viola Davis's husband. On How to Get Away with Murder, and you couldn't probably...
Yeah, but that was after. I mean, that was... Shonda's always, you know, there would be something to come up and she'd say... I want you to play this part, like on Grey's Anatomy. I played there's a part on there she wanted me to play on an episode I was supposed to direct, but then we pushed it later. I think we were Melly's husband or ex-husband. We were kind of floating out stories
at one point.
No way.
Her ex-husband came back and was a real jerk or something like that.
Wow.
And like Huck's friend.
Huck's friend,
like
yes.
Huck's messed up in the head friend, yeah. Oh, that would have been
so good. Who went the other way.
Yes.
Yes. And he fixed people or something, you know. No. That would have been great.
Yeah.
Can you take us back? Like, what do you think was in the special sauce of the trail? Tom Verica first came to us, not on this episode. I mean, not at all. But he came to us at episode 6, which was the first hardcore flashback episode in season 1 of Scandal. Why was that so magical that changed your fate to forever be the man of Shondaland?
That was it. It's sealed up there at that point. It's so often. I mean, we can all, whether we're actors or directors, we can all sort of chalk it up to timing and chemistry of when something happens. There's so many projects that sort of line up what they think is the A-team and the winning combination with the script and the cast. Oftentimes you look at it on paper, you're like, this is brilliant, but it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
This was just something that came together. I remember when I was asked to do this because I was doing other shows at the time that they were saying, this is a bottle episode. This is to save money, this episode.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, well, how? This is the trail. They're kind of going to all these different towns. They're like, yeah, but it's got to be all done on the lot at Sunset Gower. I'm like, Sunset Gower doesn't have a back lot.
Oh, my God. This is fascinating, Tom.
It was pitched as a saving money episode. They thought it would be fairly contained and limited. And then once it got into it, and as Shonda sort of said, no, this is this, and this is, and I'm like, well, this is...
That's going to cost some money.
This is not your bottle episode. And then it really became a tremendous puzzle about how do we, you know, we shot up in the Hollywood Hills, that little area where the diner is that goes up to the Hollywood sign. You know, we shot that as Connecticut.
Beechwood Diner?
Beechwood Diner, I think it was. Yeah, or just outside of there.
But yeah.
We shot all around, you know, there, and we're literally, it was all within a mile of Sunset Gower.
Oh, wow.
And we traveled around the country. I think it was because it was the origins of Fitz and Liv that kind of really set it off. And I think that's where they really got to play how their chemistry started with what's been set up in 1 through 5. So kind of going back stylistically, it was a really fun episode to do because you got to play in those flashing back and flashing forward and really playing with the timeline. So I think that element with the writing, with the falling in love, seeing how two people fell in love, and just the combo of everyone. I mean, I just hit it off with all of you. It was the first time you and I had met, Katie,
yeah.
I think, on that show.
Have you and Guillermo worked together before?
Guillermo,
yes.
We did an episode of The Mentalist we did
together. No, it was Harry's Law with Kathy Bates.
Oh, it was Harry's Law.
Yeah.
Yes, I directed Harry's Law.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
That's exactly
my
right.
God.
I remember that. I remember working with Kathy Bates, sitting across from her and just being like, I can't believe that's Kathy Bates. Like Kathy Bates is right there.
I would be so starstruck. First question: of all the shows in Shonda Lynn you direct, Scandal's obviously your favorite, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
It is. No, it is. I mean, that show and the cast. I mean, it was really special. The different episodes I got to make what I call different films on so many different episodes of Scandal. Whether it was Run, which is like this completely contained episode, or The Lawn Chair, which is very politically. I mean, there were so many different types.
Wait, you directed both of those episodes?
Yeah, and they were in the same season. Yeah, very different films.
Yeah,
very different 1 hour, 45 minute films.
Oh my God,
that's really the kind of testament to our writers and you all as actors was really with season to season it kind of turned and went in different directions and we really got to do very different types of shows.
So crazy.
How did you become a director from acting?
Very simple. I had a very slow acting year and I had to find something else to do.
Yeah.
That's what kind of generated it. In reality, I'd been talking about it for a while leading up to there. And I think I didn't work an entire calendar year. And I've been talking about doing it for a while. And my wife, who you know, Kira, basically just said, just fucking do it. Jump in and do it. And I got into this course. Took a course and made a couple short films, and I just was hooked immediately.
Wow.
I took a night course in cinematography and then did this, worked with 16mm film and editing on Steenbecks with actual film. So it really taught me the kind of the love of the craft and the technical aspect. But I think what had happened is it really, as I began to direct in those first 5 years, I think it released what I think I always, since a kid, the love of films and the imagery that I've had, those things were already planted and I didn't even realize it. And I think it as it unfolded, I'm like, oh, this is it. This is what I love doing. This is what I feel I was meant to do.
Oh.
We'll be right back, guys.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim, cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes. When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles, like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy Push-Up Bra from the Very Sexy Collection, in on-trend hues like Black Shine, Green, and Citron. For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat. because life is better in a bikini. Rewind to the future with the VS Archive Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage, from full to cheeky to minimal. And now in this season's must-have shades and patterns, add the finishing touch with a limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Tom, do you, like, going into this episode, I just have to ask you, like, do you even remember what it was like directing Joe Morton in this monologue? This is his first. Joe Morton had been around all last season, but he's just shady as shit, and we don't know what the fuck he's doing, and he doesn't have a lot of lines and all this kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, he kicks off this episode with the most insane monologue that ended up
that
having
crazy.
Such ringers that stuck, like, I am the hell in high water, or like, what do I always say? We have to do twice as much as good.
Yeah.
To be half as good as them.
We have to be twice as good to get half as much. Yeah. And all of these big famous lines. Do you have any memory of that in the airplane hangar?
I have a very clear memory. And I have to say, I remember when I always read the lines first before we start blocking or anything, just so we can kind of spit it out. And Joe Morton was word perfect.
Of course he was.
From that first spitting, you get goosebumps when he goes into those monologues. And he just delivered every single time. And we shot in this hangar in Burbank Airport. We all just kind of, after rehearsal, just kind of looked around with our jaws dropped, saying, let's get the cameras, let's set them up.
Should have shot it. Should have shot the rehearsal. Do you remember him getting down low, like in the middle of the monologue? He gets real low. Ugh.
He goes, first lady.
Yes, yes, that's it. Oh, it's so powerful.
We were all doing it.
First lady. He's all fucking making fun of her. Like, that's as high as you could aim. Like, what is wrong with you?
You're way down here. You could have been. You know what I remember about that day? And it just hit me.
What?
That episode, I had already got Ava DuVernay to direct later in the season, season 3. She was shadowing me on that episode.
No.
And that was her first day in the airport hangar watching Joe Morton.
Wow, what a first day.
As she was getting ready to direct Scandal, she was just kind of seeing the lay of the land of what it was. And she got to see that.
She's got a future, that Ava DuVernay.
She's going to do good in Hollywood.
She's amazing. I also loved in that monologue that when he says that, you have to be twice as good to get half as much. And he's like, did you direct them to do this, or they just did it? Or maybe it was in the stage direction. I don't know. But like, Carrie's acting all like a little girl, like they're going back into their old relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, what did I always say? And she's all of a sudden like, looks.
Yeah. She pulled her sleeves down over her hands and she looked like a little girl. It was so great. No, a lot of that was them. I mean, that was really their instincts. I oftentimes with all you guys, it's a little bit of suggestion here, suggestion there to sort of, you know, bring it to its fullest if I see something. But I think Carrie's, a lot of her work was, I mean, as you guys know, acting is reacting, and she was just brilliant throughout that whole piece as he's kind of running that game on her.
Whoa, I haven't heard the acting is reacting in a hot second. And that is a good reminder.
That's because we haven't been doing either. Haven't been acting or reacting years.
That's right. I forgot.
But I also love in this episode that Olivia doesn't bow down to him and stay feeling and looking like a little girl for long, because she gets on that plane. Rowan is trying to get her to another country because her name has been released as the person that's sleeping with Fitz. But it doesn't last long. And then she asks the stewardess for a phone. She makes a phone call to Cyrus and she gets off that plane.
Yeah.
And yo, when I first watched the episode, I knew what was going to happen, but I was still scared because I was like, your father's going to kill you. But she stood her ground and walked off and got in that limo and left.
And she blew right by him. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So good.
And I remember technically we were trying to get, because that had to be a moment. I wanted that door to pop open and her flying
so
on the
good.
Stairs. And of course, the plane guy's like, no, the door has to open like this. I'm like, no, it's got to pop. But she's got to come off that plane. But we sold it with a tracking move to help her sort of just.
Yeah. The way you shot it, it works.
First of all, we always talk about eating scenes are our favorite because Guillermo and I love food. This is a very weird episode because no one eats in this episode. Shocker.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And no one dies. We have a scandal body count. So, guys, hold on to your seats, gladiators listening to this season. Everyone is still alive.
Yeah.
No one's dead.
That is unusual, both not drinking and no dying. I mean, that.
No, there's drinking. There's whiskey with.
Who has
with,
whiskey?
Sally Langston and Fitz are drinking in the Oval Office. Yeah.
I love that scene, too, where, you know, he says, I don't know, you know, do you want a scotch? I would ask a guy for a scotch, but I don't know. Yeah. I feel like I should. She's like, I'll have a little.
Neat. Right. She's like, I'll have scotch. Neat.
Yeah, neat.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. This is also the first time that we see Sally Langston super vulnerable and kind of listening to Fitz and wanting to help him and not be this, you know, this fierce, like, bulldog, angry person, which I really like. Like, Fitz won her over. You know what I mean? With his sweet talk.
Yeah, he totally
such
does.
Such a nice flavor and depth to that character, because then she really goes off the rails after this. But you're right. The moments in that office when it was just the two of them, the empathy that she has for him, even though he goes against everything that she believes in religiously and everything. But there was such nice subtlety that Kate just brought us a beautiful, beautiful layer to that character.
Oh, she's so good. Mm-hmm. And those two have been acting together since the beginning of time.
Yeah. Since 1830? See, if they're listening to this, they're going
to. We need to have her on. Don't worry, guys. We're going to be bringing you Kate Burton.
I say that about Tony, not her.
Talk about Hollywood royalty, those two,
they're
though,
both
right?
Hollywood royalty. Yeah. He's a Goldwyn. Yeah. She's a Burton.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they grew up like acting together at Williamstown Summer Theater Festival in like upstate New York or whatever. Okay. The other thing we have to talk about is we like this new thing we're doing called the Kerry Washington Acting School Moments of the Week. And so in the ep, like, I think the winning performances of this episode in particular are definitely Papa Pope's first monologue. I am obsessed when Melly calls her a whore in the bunker.
Oh, that scene. That's another scene,
The
scene,
balls, man. She's like, the whore.
And also, the fashion of the week, the winner for the fashion of the episode is definitely Kerry Washington's coat in that bunker
scene. That white coat in the bunker.
With the little flaps.
Yes.
Yeah, that was really
insane. Had the bunker ever existed before?
I think that was, since that was the first episode of the season, I think we introduced it in that, because I remember all the designs behind that about what it was going to look like. And I think it was the first time because, again, another door issue. They couldn't get that card thing to open. The guy couldn't open the door for the, I'm like, this is a top secret bump. She blows up, you know, the nuclear code.
Yeah.
To come in here, right. And they can't get that. So I think that's why I think it was the first one. And then to do it with a, you know, 8-page scene, whatever the hell it was.
It was like a play.
Oh, yeah.
It was a play. And that's how we approached it. The four of us talked about that it is like a play. We want this to be staged like a play. They kind of were in their separate corners. Yeah, so we really kind of treated it as a play. And literally each of them, what they go through performance-wise. And, you know, I remember we did a master, and someone was watching. They're like, what? That's like, what the fuck is this? This is like,
so
you can
long.
Play this. This is like a play. It's such a long scene. They're like, you know, people are usually like, I'm going to go out and get a banana for a
Right.
What's your favorite craft service snack? Speaking of bananas, that's not mine.
No, not mine. I think it was the Twizzlers Liquors.
I remember you always asking for a turkey sandwich. You do like a turkey sandwich, right, Tom?
A turkey, a good lunch in the middle of things. Yeah. I would do a turkey sandwich.
Like, let me get
sandwich.
A turkey sandwich. Yeah.
That's a good memory.
That is so funny. Are you a caffeinating director? Are you like someone who's like constantly drinking coffee or any of that? No.
I do like one in the morning. But no, throughout the day, I don't, because the come down, the highs and lows, the ups and downs. I am if I can take a 8 to 12 minute nap at some point during the day, that recharges me, usually during lunch. I think it was Einstein who had it. He says the amount of time your body needs to recharge is you hold a spoon in your hand, sit in a chair, just doze off. When that spoon drops and wakes you up, then you will have all you needed for that power down. I'm like, that's fascinating.
Are you kidding me? That is so dope. I've never heard that.
I have to try that.
Cut to me and Katie sitting with spoons in our hands.
And my third acting moment of this Kerry Washington School of Acting from this ep is definitely Guillermo Diaz. What? You don't think you deserve it in this episode?
I feel like I was barely in this episode. I don't even remember. What did I do?
First of all, when you hold her... Do you push her up against a car in this episode? Am I wrong?
No.
Okay, okay. No, Guillermo, you fail. You lose. You're not the Kerry Washington School of Acting this week.
But
one of
my favorite acting moments was from Kerry again, where she walks into OPA and this is after Harrison and OPA have thrown Janine Locke under the bus, and Olivia bursts in and she's like,
what did you do?
You know, we probably cracked up every time when we shot that scene.
How many times, guys, did I have to get you guys to keep a straight face?
Can we talk about that? How annoying, but how fun at the same time whenever we would.
It was fun, but it was, you know, of course, when we're behind and everyone's like, we got to go. It was annoying. I'm like, guys, we got to get this.
We can't stop laughing.
When you were our producing director on Scandal, and it's your job, and correct me if I'm wrong, to kind of prep directors who are coming in.
Yeah.
Would you tell them OPA does not behave? You have got to. Yeah. Is that what you would do? Yeah, I knew.
Tom. I basically said you are going to get boned in OPA if everyone's there at the table.
We won't stop talking.
I said, get in the focus. It's going to be tough. Just call action. Just keep calling action, and somebody will hear it and they'll kick
that's
it.
That's Katie.
Go.
I blame Katie. Katie will not stop talking until you hear that, and that's when Katie will focus.
Yeah, you know what I would do? I would take my gum, I would fold it into whatever notepad Quinn was holding or some shit, and then I'd be like, okay, I'm ready to act now.
That notebook was full of gum.
Full
it was
gum,
disgusting.
Gum.
Do you remember that? We'd open it up and be like, look at this cemetery of Katie's gums.
It was the mintiest notepad anyone's ever smelled.
The multicolored gum.
Yes, yes.
What would you warn them about, or maybe you can't tell us, what would you warn them about in the White House?
Not warn them. I think it's just prepping them so they knew what to expect. Most of it was technical, and then, of course, I'd run down the actors. But this is one of those casts where everyone was there. You guys were all kind of on your game. I've worked on shows where you have someone who they've never looked at the lines when they step on set, and you have somebody else who's just overly prepared, and they're overanalyzing everything, and you just try to really run the gamut as to what people... So oftentimes it was more tonal things and technical things about the style of the show, how to move the camera, when to pull out the plexi panels. It rarely was kind of beware of actors or warn actors, other than when you had the big group scenes, because you're just going to...
Were the big group scenes in the White House, they were well behaved?
No, they were, but they weren't, it wasn't as...
Fun, you can say it.
They weren't as fun as us.
It wasn't as big as your group and not as a close-knit family. I think the nature of kind of their relationships.
Right, right.
They were professional and everyone was, it just wasn't the family that was OPA, you know.
Yes.
Did you have any other acting wins from the Kerry Washington School of Acting this week in this episode? did I miss anybody?
I was going to bring up really quick the actress Samantha Sloyan who plays Janine Locke.
Oh, yeah, Janine.
Were you part of that casting, Tom? I'm sure at the end you have to be like, these are my favorites and...
Yes. We had cast her. She was earlier in this. She was in the seasons before.
That's right.
In a very small part. And when we talked about having someone who's already in there to feel that continuity, I remember Shonda calling and saying, okay, I wanted that girl. Can she handle this? Can she do this?
Wow.
I don't know. I said, but let's go.
Did you have to re-audition her or have a conversation with her? Or
I had a conversation with her. I think, I don't know if she knew it was an audition.
Right.
I think we said, just read through this and then talk her through kind of what was going to happen. And I remember really liking her, having faith in her because I thought she was super smart. And I think
she turned out to be fucking great.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Fantastic. I thought she was so good.
She's like the lead in the next episode, like one of them. She's got a ton of stuff to do.
Yeah, I don't think she quite, when she signed on, I think she was like a staffer, a White House staffer. And then suddenly she's the center of the story.
I did a short film with Samantha Sloyan like a couple of years after Scandal. And I remember talking with her about, you know, Scandal and that moment. And how she found out, and all of a sudden she was like, oh my God, like I have to do all this stuff. But she's prepared. She's a wonderful actress. So
yeah, she really is.
Everyone lucked out there. Could have gone really badly.
Sometimes you got to get lucky.
Yeah.
We will be back with more after the break.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim, cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes. When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles, like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy Push-Up Bra from the Very Sexy Collection, in on-trend hues like Black Shine, Green, and Citron. For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat. Because life is better in a bikini. Rewind to the future with the VS Archive Swim Collection, inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage, from full to cheeky to minimal. And now in this season's must-have shades and patterns, add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Guillermo Diaz always talks about how Scandal's related to a horror film at every single episode.
Thank you, Katie. Yes.
You're welcome. How is this episode, or did Tom Verica work on a horror film that you've seen?
Katie.
What?
Can I just say that Tom Verica,
oh God, I'm so excited,
is in one of my favorite horror trilogies.
No!
One of my favorite horror movies.
Get out of here.
It is the prequel to Silence of the Lambs.
What?
It was directed by Brett Ratner and written by Ted Talley. And it's a movie called Red Dragon.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And Tom is in this
small part.
Freaking movie.
Very
yes, it's
small
a small part.
Part,
but very significant, very memorable. He plays a dad of this family, and the family gets murdered by this serial killer. And all of Tom's scenes are seen through a VHS footage. They're like family movies.
Yep.
I think the first time I saw it was after we had done Scandal, and I watched it and I was like, oh my God, that's Tom Verica. I couldn't believe it.
I think you said, I heard your voice.
I heard your voice.
because I remember I get this part. It was a small thing. And I'm like, I just want to, it's a big old honking, you know.
Big budget horror
big
film.
Big movie. When they get it, it's like, okay, you're the dad, so you're going around. I'm like, yeah, but I'm filming everybody else. I'm not on camera here. So you hear my voice.
So in the movie, you're the dad shooting the family, but you're not on it that much.
You still see
but
you,
but then you see me dead in bed, you know, because I had to go in and get fitted for the mirrors that were jammed in my eyes when I was killed so that he could see himself.
Yes.
And,
what?
But I remember in the scene, we're laying in the bed and they're pouring blood. And there's like, is this too much? And Ralph Fiennes is there and he's getting in character and they're talking about, Ed Norton was, you know, they're talking about what,
Ed Norton,
how they're talking over the bodies and everything. And I'm just laying there and they're just like, no, you know, put the mirror, and I can't see shit because I got mirrors jammed into my eyes with blood all over. I do remember my mother saying, she goes, I never want to see that again.
Wow.
I can't get that, you know.
But Tom, I feel like there's a moment too in the filming where you have a like an intimate moment with your wife where you hug and kiss her.
Yes.
Where I think one of your kids maybe takes the camera.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
At the end of it, they turned it on us and you kind of see this happy couple.
Oh, I know, Tom Verica.
So that you feel for the family that...
Who played your wife?
Marguerite...
Oh.
Moreau, I think. We both laid dead in bed for many hours.
Oh,
well,
my God.
Listen, you are part of a horror film history.
Tom, did you have any actor moments from this episode or fashion moments or horror moments from this ep?
Well, it's always fashion. I mean, it was, you know, Carrie and I would always have this battle because she'd be putting her purse always up like in front of things, in front of the camera. I'm like, okay, I know what you're doing, but I can't see the frigging action with that bag.
You got to move that Birkin bag, please.
Can you put it? So she goes, well, I can't put it on the floor. I says, I know you can't put it on the floor, but you got to put it someplace instead of directly in front of the lens.
I would never put a Prada bag on the
right
fucking floor.
Right on the floor. Yes. That's true.
Exactly.
And you're like, we can't have it be like the most opulent thing in the scene.
Exactly. And I would always just mess with her. I was like, can we move the cheap bag over to... And then Lynn Palo, I'd get a call from Lynn Palo. And she'd be like, Tom, you got to stop.
Where's the bag?
But no, it was really extraordinary. I mean, Lynn Palo's work alone is extraordinary.
We just had her on.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Not too long ago.
Love her.
And you get to work with her again on Bridgerton and Queen Charlotte.
Yes.
We're going to have you on again, but while we have you, I want to know if you have any favorite scandal memories off camera and what you think is your favorite scandal episode you ever directed.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a tough.
I have to say some of my favorite, every day was really fantastic behind the scenes, but I do remember the very last day of filming. It was like 2 a.m, everybody was there. Even people who weren't filming came in. It was one of the only times I ever found it very difficult to call cut. And it was on Josh Molina, appropriately so.
Of course.
But I just didn't want to call it because it just meant that it was done. And Shonda was there. Everyone was there at like 2 a.m. And yeah. I do remember trying to get the last take because everyone was talking. I'm like, I can't freaking
stop it.
Shoot this thing. That was my favorite moment because it felt full circle that the family, the journey that you all had come from, the pilot to now was really just a special time. And then D.C., you know, when we all went to D.C.
Yeah, that was great.
I think that was just such a special time because we had been through VFX and pretending we'd been in D.C. all this time. Then here we are the last season. We all get to go there and just, you know, the dinners and the time that we all spent together was just...
And just like really shooting at the Lincoln Memorial and you're just like, this is unbelievable. Yeah. Like, this is just so...
It was all
magical.
Favorite episode, I think the trail kind of set it all in motion.
Yeah.
There's so much unknown and discovery, and that's always fun when that pays off to that. And then I think Run, because it was just such a psychological, it was a very different kind of episode. I mean, even though it didn't involve everyone in there, but it was such a deep dive into her kind of...
Run is the one where Olivia Pope is kidnapped, and she has that crazy sequence where she's running to get out, and the camera was like attached to her stomach, right?
Yeah,
like at her face.
GoPro or something.
Doggy Cam is the system. It was born of that. That's the name of it. But it was a rig that was rigged to her hip, and it's the first time we used that, and we put a camera on there.
Oh, it's so good.
And I had to come up with all the tricks because Shonda wrote, you know, she's running down this long hallway, and she can't get to the door. She can't get to this door. Now, on stage, it's about 30 or 40 feet.
Yeah.
And I've got to make this look like it's a sequence.
Yeah.
I just had her go up and back and up and back a couple different times, a couple different to make it feel to extend that hallway to make it look much longer than the, you know, what we could pay to build.
So good. So good.
When you were shooting the trail and they were doing their first sex scenes, which is like, that's really where we saw in episode 6.
Yeah.
That's where they're on the campaign and they get into that hotel room and they go at it and he says, take off your clothes. And then it gets like remixed into this like song, right? Did you remember directing it and being like, holy shit, this chemistry is, or is it like when you direct sex scenes, which you did direct me and Gideon and it was not good?
That was the first episode. Yeah.
This is what I remember.
I thought it was good.
But I remember, and bless him, Brendan Hines. I love him. He's a friend. He's so great. And I think the memory has distorted itself in my mind. So maybe this isn't true. But I remember you coming in. This is the grilled cheese season one sex scene between Quinn and Gideon.
Right.
And I remember you coming in and being like, it's looking like Katie is going to like eat you alive. Katie's all over you and like gonna win and like this needs to be more like even like, and I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh my God, this guy is like so not into me and I could take him out. Like I'm such an aggressor.
You threw yourself into
it. I was like, fuck yeah. And I remember you were trying to be like, it looks like Katie's like, you didn't say mauling you, but that's what it felt like.
I think he said mauling you. I want to believe that he said you're mauling him, Katie.
Well, of course, and this is before intimacy coordinators.
Right.
But it was always very delicate, and I was always very respectful coming from acting about what actors' comfort levels are. So to me, it's what intimacy coordinators do now. Not all directors do. But I kind of just had that ground rules. What are you comfortable with? What do we want to portray here? What's happening in the story? What do you guys feel? I did have that conversation with Carrie and Tony before doing that piece. That moment didn't feel like we wanted to be right up in there to see all the close-up. And I remember having a discussion with Oliver Bockelberg, our DP, about laying back and showing, giving them their space and doing that and playing longer lens and just capturing moments of that. It wasn't really about the how much you could see, but it was what is it insinuating, catching glimpses of that. So, and then it was from Out of Sight, we kind of referenced there's that scene with Clooney in Out of Sight that we liked, that it was flashing back and flashing forward as they're walking down the hallway. And we tried, I think Matt Ramsey was the editor, tried that mechanism and it really just worked. And that's kind of became the template for that piece.
Did you know, though, like Shondaland, Grey's Anatomy, known for just chemistry and love scenes and like amazing relationships between people.
Yeah.
Scandal, the same. Bridgerton, my good Lord. And Queen Charlotte, the same. Like, how do you know that you've... I mean, now you've been at Shondaland for a lot of some pretty steamy chemistry that the show depends on. I mean, honestly, it's like I'm a viewer now and a fan. So it's what brings me back. I'm like, holy shit, are they going to get together? And then they finally do. And it's like the hottest, best shit ever. How do you know you've got it?
There is a rhythm for all of us. It's until you kind of really see, because you can talk about it. You can come into it with the feeling of like, oh yeah, this is these two together. It's going to be hot. Yeah. But that doesn't always translate. You don't know. And it's, again, if you dive into break down what's happening emotionally, I think if you can really honor what's happening between these two characters and we all do our homework and discussion about what this is, then the technical really supports what needs to happen emotionally. And you know, like in Queen Charlotte, you know, the two of them had never done a sex scene. It was one of the most challenging because they were so uncomfortable. They were so frozen.
Babies. No. They're so young and green and amazing.
But they did amazing. And then by the time we got in the later episodes, they were like, oh, okay, you know, we could do this stuff.
But the first, here we go.
The first one took all day.
Wow.
And I remember the AD's like, we got another scene or two. I'm like, we ain't doing those today. We got to focus on this. And they got to feel, we got to earn their comfort. And they were, because they're kids.
Yeah, they're kids.
Yeah. This is the first time. It said, so we're going to take our time and we're going to do, you know, we're going to go slow and give them their space to do it. So it really is different. You really have to sort of weigh all those things and really kind of establish that partnership between those two people to feel comfortable to attempt and portray, you know, what is needed in the scene. But it doesn't always work. I mean, again, you put two major A stars together in a big, you know, romance film, and we can all point to it, and they fail because they're like, oh, on paper, it sounds like it, but totally. There's no chemistry there at all.
When they put Katie and I together, Huck and Quinn, I feel like a lot of directors were like, you need to use less tongue. Like, don't be so crazy. Like, please stop spitting on each other.
Oh, yeah. Stop spitting on each other.
One of my favorites is the conference room table with you two.
Yes. Oh, my God. We've talked about this.
God,
yes.
You directed us.
All three of us could not keep a straight face.
Oh, my God. I remember.
I am mortified. Guillermo with his pants around his ankles just waddling over to take Quinn from behind over the conference table.
Yes, of course.
I forgot that was you, Tom.
I could not. Stop laughing, you know. Every sex scene has its own thing, but
oh my God,
knowing you two, and then you two throwing yourselves into it.
Yes. Oh my God, our jobs are insane.
And that's what you said. We were like, "What the hell are we doing? This is
our job.
This is," and it's like 9 a.m. on like a Wednesday, and like Guillermo's like bending me over a conference table, pulling his pants down, then he's waddling with his pants around his ankles, and he can't like get over there. And then Tom Verica's like calling action. I can't believe this is our jobs.
Oh, we did it, though. Go watch the episode, guys. It's on Hulu. Go
it's
check it really out.
Good.
We're closing this out with a...
pew, 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 pew. Tweets at a time, yo.
What is it?
That's our tweets of the time, Tom Verica. This is our time capsule.
The tweets of the time.
Which we
had
some
tweets.
Yeah,
where we read off some tweets of the time.
I'm just going to take our gladiators through a few of these, which is we had our very own at Sandy Marie Bailey, which is S. Marie Bailey, and that is Shonda's sister.
Yes.
She wrote, adjusting the Scandal White House art collection, hashtag Scandal Set Deck. And she has all these photos of all the paintings she was putting up in the White House.
Man.
She's the best. We love you, Sandy.
She is fantastic.
Ivy Winter tweeted, what a great question to ask yourself the next time you're faced with a hard decision. Are we gladiators or are we bitches? LOL, Scandal.
That line was great with all of you. Yeah.
Yes.
I can't believe in this episode is hell or high water, gladiators or
bitches.
Melly calls her a whore. Like, we had such ringers.
Twice as hard,
to get half as much, which was just huge for the episode and for the whole series.
All right, I do like this one from DGGZ. From now on, I'm answering my phone. Who are you and how did you get this number?
Yes, that's a good one.
At Just Catherine 13 wrote, I'm not trying to speak for all of us, but I didn't miss Jake. Not one bit. Nope.
Oh, shit. Oh, sorry, Scott.
Well, look, we all learned if you were ever against Olivia, they hated you.
Yeah, that's true.
Hell yeah.
And if you were trying to get between Fitz and Olivia, look out.
Yes.
Not good.
On the other show, I learned that because I was against Annalise and they hated me.
Oh, shit.
That's right.
Out in public, they're like, you scumbag, scared.
No way. Oh, my God.
But they do it in good nature. But yeah, don't go against them.
Part of you is like, at least they're watching the show. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, you're watching the show.
But
cool.
It's like, I'm not that guy, though.
Yeah, I'm not real.
Was working with Viola incredible?
Amazing. Yeah. She was an amazing partner. I'll never forget one of my 30 years in acting, one of the best days of acting I ever had was we had to film on a Sunday because I was directing on Scandal. And she and I, it was the fifth episode of the first season. It was kind of a little bit of the origins episode of Sam and Annalise. It was very Virginia Woolf. It was a knockdown, drag out fight that started in our bedroom, went down the stairs to the living room, into the kitchen. And it was just an entire Sunday that we just did that sequence and we fought the entire day and she and I bonded. That was the day that she and I really kind of connected.
Magic, man. Wow.
Are you wearing a Scandal hoodie?
Yeah, he is.
It is a Scandal hoodie.
Yeah.
You have a hoodie on that says Gladiator.
And it holds up. I mean, this is high quality.
That's a good hoodie. I still have that one.
I have
it too. It's a great hoodie. It's one of the most comfortable hoodies. Yeah.
Nice hoodie.
And the B613 one is pretty cool.
The B613 one's amazing.
That's like a sleeping bag one, you know. Yeah. We got good swag there.
Yeah, we did. I got the pliers that I pulled Quinn's teeth out with from Shonda.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
I have the toolkit that I still use.
Oh, no way. The toolbox?
I brought it over here.
Oh,
my
yay.
God. God.
I use that for around the house here, fixing stuff.
See, what a perfect person to have on is our Unpacking the Toolbox guest.
Those tools are still holding up really well. So.
Well, who knew your toolbox had so many things in it, Tom? And we got to unpack.
There we go.
Thank you so much.
We love you so much, Tom Therapath.
Love you guys so much. I miss you guys. Love you, man.
Thank you guys for joining us on Unpacking the Toolbox. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, share with your friends, rate, or leave us a review.
Scandal is executive produced by Sandy Bailey, Alex Alche, Lauren Homan, Tyler Klang, and Gabrielle Collins. Our producer and editor is Vince DiGianni, with music by Chad Fisher.
Scandal is a production of ABC Signature, and you can follow along by rewatching Scandal on Hulu.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app or anywhere you subscribe to your favorite shows.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing, and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.